In 2016, in America, there were 127 reported Muslim victims of assault, compared with 91 the year before and 93 in 2001. Many would say the numbers are much higher, as many such Islamophobic incidents go unreported. Combined with police brutality and systematic racism towards African Americans, Mexicans, and others, the facade of the leader of the free world is diminished. At the same time, white nationalism and supremacy are on the rise, with no signs of an official desire to control it. Join me, Waqar Rizvi, as we discuss racism and hate towards minorities in today's America.
Racial discrimination and injustice against the people of color and Muslims have long been a major concern in the U.S., but a new report by an American think tank paints a bleak picture, suggesting that physical assaults against Muslims in the country have for the first time surpassed those recorded in the year after the 9/11 attacks. According to the Pew Research Center, 127 attacks against Muslims were documented in 2016, compared to the 91 cases in the year before, showing a rise of 40%. The report also says 93 of such incidents had been reported in the wake of the September 11 attacks of 2001. The revelations come as newly released data by the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation suggests the number of hate crimes in the country skyrocketed in 2016, with minority communities including African Americans and Muslims targeted in many of the incidents. The FBI report says more than 6,000 incidents of hate crimes were recorded last year, which amount to an almost 5% rise from 2015. The U.S. law enforcement agency reveals that there was a 19% surge in anti-Muslim crimes in 2016. According to the FBI and international observers, more cases were registered after Donald Trump won the presidency.
Muslims became America's enemy of choice. We saw it all through the 90s, through the 2000 period, especially post 9/11, and it's accelerated even more since Trump took office. It's very easy for America to do this.
During the 2016 presidential campaign, Donald Trump insulted and threatened Mexicans, Muslims, and other minorities, calling them everything from rapists to terrorists. Racism and Islamophobia had already been high in the United States. People from a wide array of races and backgrounds are now concerned about rights violations in America, with 3 years remaining from Trump's first term in office.
Our guests for tonight's debate are author and Islamic scholar Dr. Kevin Barrett, who is joining us live from Madison. And we're also joined by Congressional Defense Policy Advisor Mr. Frederick Peterson, who is joining us live from Richmond. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us. Mr. Peterson, I'll start with you. What do you make of the Pew Research Center's findings that anti-Muslim assaults over the past 2 years were higher than even right after 9/11?
Well, we have to define who is providing this data, how that data is being accounted for, and how it's being interpreted. I will tell you this without hesitation, that the United States, the streets of the United States, the campuses on the United States are far safer for anyone, regardless of religion, regardless of political or religious belief, than virtually any other place in the world. And it is done not because there is a heavy police presence to enforce that that comity among peoples, but because that is the way that America is, embracing of differences and toleration of differences is a fundamental principle and a continuing manifestation within our country and the policies that we extend to others. However, that does not obviate the fact that there has been an increase in the number of Muslims that have been killed throughout the world as a result of terrorism. Worldwide, it has nearly tripled this past year, and you are correct to note that this has been Muslims have been the target and the target of coincidence of terrorists. And I don't put a religious label on that terror. I put the extremist label on that terror. There have been well over 3,000 worldwide victims, and the vast majority of those have been Islamists that have been the victims of that terror. And yet that terror has occurred. Look where it has happened. It has happened in Iraq. It has happened in Afghanistan. It has happened in several countries in Africa, the Middle East, and
okay,
throughout the world.
If I could just come to Mr. Peterson, because I do want to stay,
Ramadan,
and I do want us to try to keep our conversation concentrated about what's happening within the U.S. borders, if you allow me to do so. Dr. Brett, I want to go back to, again, within the U.S., Dr. Brett, and ask you about what you make of the fact that whatever Mr. Peterson has said about the U.S. being safe, nevertheless, these anti-Muslim assaults are increasing at the very least, and that is worrying, is it not?
Assault.
Of course, since the attacks of September 11th, 2001, Islam has replaced communism as the official enemy of the ruling American ideology. And that has, of course, spilled over into the streets as people who are driven by these kinds of very kind of deep primordial enmities that are inculcated by propaganda are acting them out and attacking people on the streets. There have been all sorts of bombings and shootings at mosques, and this is on the upswing now. Many people are puzzled about why it would be that this problem would be worse now than it was in the immediate aftermath of September 11th, 2001. The answer to that question is that September 11th, 2001 was orchestrated precisely to create the kind of long-term enmity that we've seen. It was based, there were studies conducted in the 1990s by the world's leading focus group researcher. I was paid for by the U.S. military, looking at why the Americans hated Japanese people nearly half a century after Pearl Harbor. And it was discovered that there were a whole lot of psychological mechanisms responsible for this. Those mechanisms were then used to design the false flag event on September 11th, 2001. And before my guest jumps in and starts pulling his hair out, let me remind him that there's a huge pile of peer-reviewed literature in scientific journals, mainstream scientific journals. Professor Halsey in Alaska is only the latest to prove that Building 7 was a demolition, but there are many, many others. There were a number of them last year as well. So this has been proven beyond any reasonable doubt now in the scientific journals that September 11th was, in fact, an orchestrated false flag operation designed to create the very long-term Islamophobia that we're seeing today. And they've confessed to this. Philip Zelikow, the executive director of the 9/11 Commission, is an expert on the creation and maintenance of public myths. That's his expression, not mine. And he's interested in long-term effects of events like Pearl Harbor. That's how he describes his expertise. That's what 9/11 was. So we are still suffering under the global, not just U.S. American, but global Islamophobia that was very carefully designed and unleashed with the inside job on September 11th, 2001.
Okay, so Mr. Peterson, you know, it would be unfair, obviously, just to only talk about Islamophobia within U.S. borders. I also want to add on, Mr. Peterson, the fact that, you know, there's a long-standing issue of systematic racism against African Americans and other people of color within the United States, and we've seen that heightened, possibly, since the presidency of Barack Obama. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that specific point, but what do you make of how the United States treats its minorities, and I'm not talking about just Muslims in this case?
I utterly reject as fanciful at very best and outright deceptive at worst the thought that there is some sort of special treatment for minorities because of minorities in the United States, be that of color, be that of content of character, be that of religion. That simply is a convenient myth that is used to held up to justify an anti-American point of view. It has no substance. It has no practical effect. And I will say that the religion or the race or the belief of people in the United States is far more tolerated and encouraged. It simply is than any other country on the face of the earth. It is a refuge for people of differences, not a place where people of differences are fleeing. People are attempting to enter the United States because of it, because of its Pacific, i.e., its passive attitude toward minorities, toward race, and toward religion. The other guest, it was almost humorous, we raised Pearl Harbor and his comic book histories and fanciful accounts that absolutely are in la-la dreamland. But it's not a dreamland, it's a nightmare. Because did Pearl Harbor never happen? Did World Trade never happen? Oh yes, it was a plot by the U.S. government in order to encourage some. I mean, this is not even, it's hardly, to say scholars are behind that idea, these scholars must be scholars writing comic books.
But Mr. Peterson, with due respect, Mr. Peterson, if I could just comment, Mr. Peterson, with due respect, whatever you may think of Pearl Harbor, Mr. Peterson, do you not agree, Mr. Peterson, that the Japanese were treated badly after that incident happened?
After Pearl Harbor?
Yes.
Were they treated badly? You mean like
within U.S. borders? I'm saying.
Is that what we're referring to?
Yes.
Oh, you mean after the war?
Yes.
No, actually, Japan was rebuilt by the United States after the war. Japan was rebuilt by the United States after the war.
And Mr. Peterson, I'm talking about Japanese within U.S. borders specifically.
There were Japanese that served in the American military heroically. Yes, I will agree that the internment by the Roosevelt administration of Japanese as a class of people was wrong and was very much of a wrong thing to have happened during a time of war. But this was a time of very heightened passion. It was a time of heightened threat. And I'm not trying to justify that, but I'm trying to bring a sense of balance and reality to the comic book history that has been presented.
Dr. Barrett, you know, I can imagine, Dr. Barrett, that you can talk to Muslims or even African Americans who have been, you know, who have been subjected to what they would call systemic racism for many, many years now in the United States. And now we have a president who talks about Mexicans in very derogatory terms as well. What do you make of minority rights and how other races are seen in the United States by officials, that is?
Well, the United States is not alone in having a big gap between its ideals and its living realities. The other guest is correct, and that's a rare occurrence, but he's correct in saying that the United States officially and by way of its founding ideology is open and hospitable to people from different backgrounds and especially different ideas. It was founded, in fact, by religious dissenters who then found a way to live together. The United States is founded on the idea of people of different beliefs being able to live together. But unfortunately, the reality of history has, as often as not, undermined that ideal. And we've had, of course, the war against the merciless Indian savages, who were mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. This war to exterminate the native inhabitants of the Americas was unfortunately quite successful. And today we're seeing the same thing with our Black Hawk and Apache helicopters being used to commit genocide in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. There's a direct continuity there. And likewise, the African slave trade, which was also a Holocaust, both the Native American and African slave Holocausts were vastly bigger than any Nazi Holocaust. And yet all of our Holocaust museums in the United States, funded by billionaire Zionists focus entirely on this Nazi Holocaust and ignore all of the Holocaust that we here in the United States have perpetrated. And there's a direct line of continuity between the African slave Holocaust and the racism against black people, the Native American Holocaust, and the near complete eradication of Native peoples here. And today's ongoing anti-Muslim Holocaust, which is, of course, much worse in other countries. In the United States, Muslims are still free to worship, although their mosques are completely infiltrated and overrun by FBI-paid psychopathic informants who are being paid to try to find vulnerable young Muslims and get them to seemingly okay participation in an FBI-created terror plot in order to arrest these kids, these poor innocent kids, brainwash them, and then send them to jail for decades. So it's pretty bad here, but at least we still have functioning mosques. But around the rest of the world, the United States has murdered 32 million Muslim civilians since 9/11 in the 9/11 wars, according to very careful research by Dr. Frederick Polya, a professor from a Jewish background, a brilliant scientist out of Australia, who's very carefully documented this. 32 million Muslims since 9/11. This is more than five official Nazi Holocaust totals, and we've done it just since that false flag attack. This is not fanciful history. This is reality, Mr. Peterson. Wake up and face it. You, are morally inferior to the most disgusting and genocidal Nazi that you could imagine as the official enemy of your country. You are worse.
Okay, Mr. Peterson, I'll of course allow you to respond to that. And Mr. Peterson, I also wanted to bring this up because now the issue of white supremacy / white nationalism, white extremism, whatever you may want to call it,
is an issue now that
keeps coming up now, Mr. Peterson, because we've had a lot of these mass shootings recently, in recent years at least, and we've had marches of all sorts which have been against minority groups in the United States very openly. But there doesn't seem to be an official response to that, is there, Mr. Peterson? Charlottesville comes to mind, for example, and the incidents there, and Donald Trump's reaction, which was very muted. How do you feel about that, Mr. Peterson?
Well, I suppose we'll just skip over the long catalog of hilarities and utterly fanciful, if not slanderous, and fundamentally,
I'm glad you find mass murder humorous.
Lies that have been offered. Thank you for interrupting me. I didn't interrupt you with laughter, which was probably more appropriate. The comic book history that was presented was a horror comic book, and I should suggest that your other guest would be better directing science fiction for some anti-U.S., anti-American, anti-freedom, and he'll find plenty of funding for it, sponsors throughout the world. But the fact remains that the United States stands as an open door. Mexicans are not fleeing the United States to return to Mexico. Mexicans and races throughout the world, peoples throughout the world, oppressed peoples and people seeking opportunity are coming into the United States, not seeking
Mr. Peterson,
leave.
I do apologize for interrupting you, but with due respect, Mr. Peterson, how can the United States have an open door policy when the travel ban is in place, which primarily targets Muslim countries?
The travel ban is defensive. It's against countries that
so
have
then,
overtly
So then, by definition, then, Mr. Peterson, the United States does not have an open-door policy.
And this is to defend the... Yes. It does not have an insane policy, no. It has a rational policy to defend those who are seeking opportunity here by preventing those who seek to undermine, kill, destroy from freely coming into the country. And that is to secure the blessings of liberty and prosperity for those who are welcomed and fostered within the United States. It is not seeking to keep people out unless they mean us harm. Okay. Any other policy is utterly irrational, fanciful, and should and would be rejected outright by any president.
Dr. Brett, while we, of course, appreciate that every country needs to keep its borders secure, Dr. Brett, but the countries that are under the travel ban, many people have pointed out that none of those countries' citizens have ever actually attacked the United States. In fact, the Saudis are the one primary ones, if we go by the official story of 9/11, that did attack the United States on 9/11. So why not block the Saudis? Why block these other countries at this time and create this hysteria against Muslims?
Well, of course, this is just as fanciful and nightmarish as our guest says. I don't think he quite understands how true some of his words are, but there is no Islamic radical terror threat against the United States within the United States whatsoever. Even if we were to accept 9/11 and the other series of false flags that these folks have orchestrated as actual radical Muslim attacks, even then, you would be 30 times more likely to be hit by lightning or drown in your bathtub than to die in an attack by any kind of terrorist. And according to the FBI, radical Muslims only commit 6% of the terror attacks. 94% are committed by others, chiefly Hispanics, leftists. Even Jewish extremists commit more attacks in the United States than Muslims are supposedly doing. So this whole idea of any kind of threat from radical Islamic terrorism in the United States is an utter and complete hoax. And that's true even if we were to accept the ludicrous official story of three buildings disappearing into their own footprints through the path of most resistance at free fall acceleration caused supposedly by very minor office fires. So this is a joke. It is a joke, Mr. Peterson, and you are a joke. Your belief in these ludicrous myths and your defense of this Muslim ban that's based on nothing, as we heard, not one of the alleged Islamic terror incidents here in the United States has even been attributed
Dr. Brett,
to anybody
I apologize for interrupting
from any
you,
of these
just
countries
because we have
that
under
are under
left, I wanted to get both
How
your final
you
comments.
This?
I do apologize. Mr. Peterson, I wanted to come full circle back to the point of this discussion, and that being, again, these anti-Muslim assaults that took place in the past number of years being higher than that post 9/11. Do you think that officials in the United States are going to address that, especially under a president such as Donald Trump?
I certainly believe that justice will be pursued in the United States, and I would encourage your other guest and our host and all of your listeners to seek justice throughout the world. Yes, it is true. There has been a huge increase in the number of Muslims that have been killed throughout the world by terror. But the perpetrators of that terror have been largely other Muslims. And this is what we must address.
Okay.
All of those of good faith seeking
Okay, Dr. Brett, I'll put the same question to you again. I wanted to concentrate really, Dr. Brett, on the Islamophobic acts within the United States borders. Go ahead, Dr. Brett.
They're increasing so far. It's not at the point where we have pogroms all over the land and mosques burning down every day, but it's moving in that general direction. And we need to stop it before it gets out of control. Unfortunately, with the election of somebody like Trump, again, all the signs are pointing in the wrong direction. This just shows why it's more important than ever to expose the facts about what's really going on, that there is no threat from any kind of terrorism. Muslims only commit 6% of the attacks, according to the FBI. And the 9/11 has been a proven false flag. Again, there is a huge peer-reviewed scientific literature on this, as well as historical literature by people like
Dr. Brett,
David
I do apologize. We're about to leave it there at that.
The Dean of 9/11 studies. So please,
but of course, we do appreciate both of your contributions to this discussion. That was Dr. Kevin Brett, author and Islamic scholar, who was speaking to us live from Madison. And we were also joined by Congressional Defense Policy Advisor, Mr. Frederick Peterson, who was joining us live from Richmond. And of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.